The following is brought to you in association with and from a proud partner of the Shining Wizards Network. Entertainment here. The place for news, views, and entertainment the way you like it. RantEMRadio.com. Thanks for tuning in and listening to The Shining Wizards. Proudly available at ShiningWizards.com and on the Shining Wizards Network. Be sure to subscribe, like, rate, and review us on whatever platform you listen to us on, including iTunes, TuneIn, Stitcher, Google Play, Audioboom, and so many more. If you shop at Amazon, visit Amazon.ShiningWizards.com and click on your country's banner. Do your shopping as usual, pay the same low prices as always, and a portion of your purchase will help support the show. If you'd like to buy Shining Wizards t-shirts, visit ShiningWizards.com/merch or a link to our Pro Wrestling Tees store and select from dozens of great designs. Follow us on social media at Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram at Wizards Podcast. If you'd like to check out our videos, visit YouTube or Dailymotion and search The Shining Wizards. The Shining Wizards airs live every Tuesday night at 7 p.m. East at RantEMRadio.com or SWLive.net. From all of us at The Shining Wizards, we thank you for your continued support.
This is the cream in your coffee, your favorite wrestler's favorite wrestler, the Jewish canon, the physical embodiment of charisma, the most entertaining man in professional wrestling, the Bernie Sanders of professional wrestling, the best of the best, Mr. America Mama, Davey Wrestling, the 104-minute man, the main event. I'm really good at Twitter, the king of taunts, the product David Starr, and you're listening to the Shining Wizards podcast.
I have a small dick.
God damn!
Back another episode of the Shining Wizards Wrestling Podcast. The summer schedule continues.
Craziness.
We've hit many, many bumps in the road this week. If you were following us on Twitter, the show is advertised as the Wrestlers Roundtable with Casey Navarro, Gino Gotts, and Vinny Pacifico all in studio. But due to circumstances beyond all of our control.
How many of them showed up today?
Zero.
But hey! You got good old KJG.
I do have Kevin Garifo. Kevin stepped up to the plate today, and he came up way early. We're recording this at 4 o'clock in the afternoon Monday. Kevin will be leaving at about 5:30. We'll only be doing about a 90-minute show because he has to record the Dumbfellas podcast.
Woo,
available
duty.
On the Shining Wizards Network. And if you're not listening to the Dumbfellas podcast, safe to say you are a dumbfella.
You are a dumbfella. Listen to this podcast, hooah.
So Kevin came to the rescue because I was just, the wind was taken out of my sail.
Man, what a turn of events here. The perfect storm, if you will.
All three guys couldn't make it to studio, and that was really, really just, I mean, life sucks and shit happens, and I understand that. Man, it was like a kick in the dick, man.
How'd you like waking up to that?
I mean, I appreciate that they took an affirmative action and got the news out early.
That's right.
It wasn't like, no one's texting me or sending messages at like 4 o'clock. Like, by the way, I can't be there.
Right.
And then I'm fucking running around like a lunatic trying to find someone to do the show with. And Vinny did still want to call in, but I felt...
got to have him in studio.
Yeah, I felt to give him the proper credit. And showcase him properly. It was better to have him in studio. And he was very understanding. Gino.
Yeah, because I don't think I've ever... I may have met him once in my entire existence. So, like, you want to have a guy like that. in studio, get to know him.
Absolutely.
Pick his brain, like, in person and shit like that.
Gino, unfortunately, had some kind of medical procedure where he was in a lot of pain, so they drugged him up, and he was Casey's ride, so they were scratched.
Gave him the good stuff, I hope, Gino.
So I reached out to good old KG, and, you know, we had been talking this morning because of another, I feel like we do this every week, another unfortunate incident in the world of professional wrestling, and we don't want to start off on a down note, and we do want to celebrate the Anvil's life.
What? That was his music that you played? When did he use that music?
This is from the Metal Jacket album. Or no, I'm sorry. The song is called Metal Jacket. It doesn't say when he used this theme song. Let me see if I can find out when.
I don't remember him ever having, like, outside of the Heart Foundation and whatever he used in WCW, whatever that generic nonsense was. But, like, I remember him coming out, because, like, the only time you really heard his music was when he, like, wrestled at Calgary Stampede, and he had his own little intro, and they played something. And that didn't sound like that.
I mean, he had to have – once they broke the Heart Foundation up, Brett essentially took
– right, and then Anvil
– Anvil had a small thing by himself, and then it was New Foundation.
Right.
So maybe that's from that?
Maybe. I don't remember him ever really wrestling. To me, like, it went when the Heart Foundation – officially broke up, like, the second time, like, and Brett was on his way. I don't remember Anvil having a run by himself. I thought it went right to New Foundation. I could be wrong. Like, when they broke up, like, the absolute second time, not when they took a break and Brett in, like, 89, and, like, he had on Survivor Series, you had Anvil teaming with Warrior, Brett teaming with Hacksaw. But I thought it went right into New Foundation. And then even when in 1994, when he turned heel at King of the Ring, he would always come out to Owen Hart's music, if I'm not mistaken.
According to the Wikipedia.
Gotta love the Wic.
After they broke up after WrestleMania 7.
Yeah, okay, that sounds about right.
That's about right. Because
that's when the Nasties beat him for the tag belts.
Right. And then they reunited for a rematch with the Nasties on July 29th, Primetime Wrestling, and they lost by disqualification when Brett hit both champions with a helmet, you know, the Jimmy Hart helmet.
Yeah, yeah.
And then that was it, and apparently Jim Neidhart was just wrestling Warlord, Barbarian, Haku on house shows, as well as IRS and Earthquake. But during this time, he didn't wrestle on TV, but he commentated Wrestling Challenge alongside Gorilla and Bobby Heenan from March to August of 1991, and then he went into the New Foundation. I just Googled...
He was wearing that goofy New Foundation gear on commentary, if I remember correctly.
I just Googled if he had a theme song, and that's what came up. So, It's not the only one. Like, there's a bunch, and it's all the same. And then I used his WCW theme song for the plugs I recorded before you got here.
Wow, his WCW theme song. I couldn't even tell you what that was.
It's pretty awesome. You have to listen to the plugs.
Because most times you saw him, too, he was teaming with Bulldog, and they used Bulldog's music.
Right.
But,
he was in WCW for a minute in 93.
Yeah.
Like a hot minute. But he didn't do a bunch there. He just beat a bunch of jobbers, and then he worked with the Junkyard Dog against Orndorff and Dick Slater on a WCW Saturday night main event. And then he beat Shanghai Pierce in a dark match before Clash of the Champions 13.
Now, Shanghai Pierce, was that Dennis, was that Phidias or was that Henry Godwin?
That's Henry.
Henry.
That is Mark Canterbury.
And Tex Lasinger was Phineas.
Phineas, yes. Who's Dennis Knight, who's supposed to be like a...
A chef.
Yeah, like a world-renowned chef in Florida or something like that. So that's pretty cool. But yeah, we're news broke this morning that Jim DeMille and Lightheart had passed away.
This was one of those ones, because this happened, I mean, we just went through a plethora, I guess the favorite word of the Shining Wizards, of losses over the last week and the same day, about a week or so ago or a week and a half ago, whatever it was, with Brickhouse Brown, Nikolai Volkoff, and Brian Christopher. And then barely, maybe a week later, maybe, I don't even know, Jim Neville Neihardt, one of my absolute all-time favorite wrestlers, passed away today. Freak Fall.
Yeah, he hit his head and then he had a seizure, right?
I guess, yeah. But
what the fuck,
so it's
man.
Like, it's not even like one that you could like, that you can understand. Like, you get it. He was a big guy, so if you want to say, like heart attack, if you want to say that, maybe you would be like, oh, well, you know what? He was a big guy, this and that. Or if you want to even go down the darker road and you want to say it was drugs or whatever, like you can kind of be like, well, I get that. I mean, he had some history. He had some run-ins. But this is just a freak falling and then succumbing to the injury of the fall. So hard to take, and it must have come as such a huge shock to his family.
From the reports, he was dealing with Alzheimer's disease.
Okay.
And apparently the death was due to a grand mal seizure, which I guess happened after he hit his head.
Yeah, all right.
We are not doctors by any stretch of the imagination.
No, no, no.
And we are just reading the reports. This is coming from the Wrestling Observer, that information about the grand mal seizure. But it did come out about an hour ago that he did fall and hit his head. So
yeah, God.
The fall and him hitting his head essentially produced the seizure, and that's how we lost the anvil. So thoughts and prayers go out to the whole Hart clan, Natty Neidhart, TJ Wilson.
God, yeah, poor Natty.
Davey Boy Smith
TJ.
Jr., everyone. Teddy, I mean, it's just terrible.
It's just like Nikolai Volkov passed, and this, I'm not trying to like trivialize or just say one guy was more important to the business than the other, or one guy, this is more important than that. It's not what I'm trying to do, but like there's certain guys when they go, you're just like, what the fuck? Like him? Really? Like, and you know me and Pot Kettle here, big Hart guy.
Yeah.
Huge Hart guy. Bret Hart's your favorite wrestler of all time. Bret Hart's my favorite wrestler of all time. But I always say when people ask me that question, it's Bret Hart and then it's the Harts. All of them. Like combined as like my number two, and Anvil's just, God, he doesn't get the credit he deserves, I think, in wrestling. Part of the great, one half of the greatest tag team ever, arguably.
Absolutely.
We're not going to go down that rabbit hole.
No, but I mean, I get what you're saying. I think it's fair to say that more guys mean more to more certain people.
Yeah.
It was unfortunate that Nikolai Volkov had passed away.
And Brian Christopher, of course.
And Brian, anytime a wrestler passes away, it's unfortunate. Some guys mean more to people than others, and I can 100% agree with Kevin. I'm in the same boat. Jim the Anvil Neidhart, part of the Hart Foundation, one of my favorite tag teams and stables.
Yeah,
And
my favorite stable of all time.
And just a super cool dude. The first WrestleCon we did here in New Jersey when WrestleMania was here for WrestleMania 28. Whatever it was.
It was 2013, whatever it was.
Okay. So if this is, what's this?
30? This is 35 is coming up.
So it's 29, right?
Yeah, sure.
I'm going to look this up while I tell the story.
Because 20 was at MSG and 29 was at the Meadowlands. They dubbed it as the 20th or the 3rd. I don't know what they did. They did something silly with it.
We were right. It was 29. It was 29. Okay. We were right. And we do a wrestling podcast, people. But we did WrestleCon, and he was
right across from us, wasn't he?
Right across from us, and at one point, he was very hot. So he took his shirt off, and you could see that he had shaved the hair on his stomach into abs. Brilliant. Me and Mega Powers took pictures with him.
God, that's another thing, too, man. Like, that's a guy that I wish I got a picture with.
Right?
God. Him and obviously and Brett, I wish I took advantage of being a part of wrestling and gotten pictures with these guys. That's what I'm going to start doing now. I don't care if people call me a mark or not. I'm going to ask for the favors. Can I get a picture with so-and-so? Because you never fucking know, man.
Exactly, man. And it's just – it's unfortunate. I've been seeing a lot. Have you been seeing the picture floating around on Facebook with just Brett in color?
It's
fucking awful.
It's just –
I mean, the picture's not awful. Just the thought of Brett's the only guy left
out of that group.
It's fucking terrible. But yeah, man, you know, shit. Celebrate Jim the Anvil Neidhart. Watch some Hart Foundation matches. They're all over.
What's your favorite Hart Foundation match? The tag team. One of my favorite Jim Neidhart moments of all time is when he came back in 97 and joined Brett and them and as part of that stable. Bret Hart was in the wheelchair and Austin was about to roll him off the stage and Anvil just comes out of nowhere with a crutch or something and nails him. like, man, that was really cool when I was so happy to see Jimmy Anvil Neidhart back. I still remember it to this day. But what was your favorite Hart Foundation match?
I mean, I have a ton.
Yeah, it's really tough.
Stuff with the Brain Busters
at
the 89 SummerSlam. The stuff with the Rockers on, like, the...
That's what I was going to say.
On, like, the DVDs and stuff.
Yeah, the ones that you never knew existed until the DVDs came out.
Anything with Demolition, I mean...
There's so many good runs with them.
The stuff
with Bulldogs. Like,
the Bulldogs, yeah.
The Rougeau Brothers. Who else? I'm trying to think. Like, who else was in that...
I mean, the Killer Bees.
Yeah. The Young Stallions, probably. I'm sure they worked because...
The Strike Force.
Strike Force.
The Rougeaus. Did we mention the Rougeaus? Yeah. Demolition. Honky Tonk Man and Greg the Hammer Valentine.
Oh, God. The Bolsheviks.
Yeah, the Bolsheviks.
They beat him in 5 seconds at WrestleMania 6?
19 seconds.
19 seconds at 5 or 6?
6.
6.
6.
Jimmy Powers.
Power and Glory.
Another very underrated tag team.
Yes, I'm 100% with you on that one.
I love that tag team.
The Nasty Boys, the Legion of Doom, Rhythm and Blues.
God.
I mean, it's all out there. I mean, I wasn't a big fan of his New Foundation stuff.
Loved it. But loved I love that team. I wish it was around longer than it was.
I liked when he came back in 94 when Owen won the King of the Ring, and he was in Owen's corner for that feud.
Yeah, and that was actually – I remember being actually like genuinely surprised that Anvil became a bad guy. I guess I was, 11 years old. So you just didn't see it coming. And then you were like, wow, what are they doing? What's going to happen with Brett? You have Owen and they didn't really – here's the other thing about that heel turn. He didn't turn on Brett. He just joined Owen.
Right.
So it was very bizarre, and you didn't know how that was going to play out. Like, well, he didn't turn on Brett, so how is he, like – is he helping – he's Owen's brother-in-law too. Like, doesn't make him a bad guy to help him win the King of the Ring.
Right. And then it all came into perspective at SummerSlam.
Yeah, the cage match.
With Davey Boy.
Ah, I loved that time when that whole feud with Owen and Anvil teaming up against Brett and Bulldog and various different combinations of the four of them. And then Anvil would have some decent matches. Well, I can't even really say decent matches, but he'd have matches with guys like Sid and... And you work like guys like Razor Ramon and
and you can't forget Who.
Oh, that's right, Who. Boy, the legendary Who.
Oh God,
the what legend. But I like the New Foundation too. Speaking of the Beverly Brothers, they're
there. You go
on the TV right now.
The Beverly Brothers.
I mean, you could really only have feuds with like three teams at that point. So it was like the New Foundation versus the Head Shrinkers, or the New Foundation versus the Beverly Brothers.
Yeah, the Orient Express.
Oh, the Orient Express, yeah. I don't even think the Head Shrinkers were there at that point.
I don't think they were in 92.
I don't think they were either. But High Energy would have matches with...
High Energy.
The Head Shrinkers.
That's Owen and Coco.
That's right. But...
A cup of coffee in WCW in 93. He wrestled in ECW when it was Eastern Championship Wrestling in 93.
And was he in those weird Superstar Wrestling Federation? Remember that, like, American Wrestling... Warriors or it was that league with like Tito had like it was like 93. All the guys when they left WWF, they went there. Like Hercules was tag team with like it was I don't know if it was like Jeff Gaylord and the Warlord and fucking Sergeant Slaughter and Tito Santana and God, it was like AWF or S Super something.
I don't know.
You don't remember? It was like really the Road Warriors were there. It was, like, really shitty quality, but, like, it was still kind of cool.
No, I don't recall.
I got to look it up.
It sounds awesome. And then he went made after the Hart Foundation thing happened with the screw job, he left and he went back to WCW, where he was, as you mentioned, tag teaming with the Bulldog. That didn't last very long at all.
No, well, I mean, they were brought in as favors for Bret Hart. And at the time, you know, they're still names, so they still matter. Bulldog had a bit of a nice run when he got there. Like, that whole thing with Mongo and then every match was, like, Anvil and Bulldog versus Kurt Hennig and Brian Adams or something like that. Which, again, all four of them are dead.
Yeah.
Fuck.
It's terrible.
That just got really depressing.
He also had a stint in TNA in 2009. He actually beat Jay Lethal.
Oh, that's when Jay Lethal was calling out the legends.
Yeah. And then he was part of Raw in 2007, excuse me.
When they did the gimmick, the 50th anniversary Battle Royal?
Yep.
I remember that. I still go back and watch because I like I'm a big intro guy, so I like seeing those guys' intros.
Yeah, and then he was featured on Total Divas a lot with Natty.
Yeah, so he was still kind of relevant.
Yeah, she was doing, you know, she had sent him to rehab with Dan Spivey, because that's what Dan Spivey's doing now. That was a little storyline.
Wait, Dan Spivey is running a rehab?
Yeah.
Good for him.
So that was in...
Does he have mercy on the people?
Yes, much mercy.
Much mercy? Waylon mercy? Whales of mercy.
So, I want to say like 2002 or 2012, 2013. In the early days of Total Divas, that was a part of a storyline there.
Well, yeah, because the whole wedding was basically a whole storyline. So, yeah.
And then even going to WrestleMania and getting him to go because he didn't want to go to WrestleMania because he didn't want to – he was trying to stay clean and he thought being around all his old friends would
– Oh, well, yeah. I mean, he's not the first one to not go.
Well, part of the story in Total Divas, Natty convinced him to go and he had a blast.
Oh, okay. Because Scott Hall turned down the first invite. I think it was – I forget who was getting inducted into the Hall of Fame. AWF, 1994. Oh, boy.
AWF, huh?
Yeah. YouTube it, man. I'm telling you.
Let's see if I could find it on the old
American... You had to have talked about it on here before.
The American Wrestling Federation?
Yeah. Let's see the Wikipedia. Oh, man. It was glorious.
Oh, and then it produced the show Warriors of Wrestling in 1995.
All right. That makes sense.
They only had about a two-year run. Your heavyweight champion was Tito Santana, and he traded that with Bob Orton Jr. Between November of 94 and October of 96.
You're the only two
champions. Yes. And Tommy Rich and Greg Valentine defeated Coco Beware and Tony Atlas to become the AWF Tag Team Champions in May of 1995.
Oh, yeah.
And both titles were retired in 1996, December of 96.
Here we go. Chris Adams was there, and wrestlers such as Tito Santana, Bob Orton, Jim Powers, Coco Beware, Johnny Gunn.
Nice.
And Greg Valentine headlined AWF events in the 90s.
I found a whole list, Kevin.
Who else? Hercules was there.
Chris Adams, you said. Adam Flash.
I think Eddie Gilbert maybe.
Tough
there.
Tom. Wayne Bloom. Lenny Lane.
Lenny Lane.
Barry Darso was there as Blacktop Bully. Honky Tonk Man was there. Jim Powers was there.
Oh, Jim Powers. Our show, Jim Powers.
The Rock, Don Morocco. Charlie Norris, my man.
Oh, good old Charlie. Fucking love Charlie Norris.
Doink was there. Matt Osborne was still playing the part there. Buddy Rose, Sergeant Slaughter, Tommy Rich. You mentioned them. Tito Santana. Nails.
Oh, yeah, Nails.
Rockin' Rebel.
Oh.
Greg the Hammer Valentine, Tom Zenk.
What are you finding this list?
I found it on Wikipedia. List of former American Wrestling Federation personnel. personnel, yes. Let's see. Some of these stables. The Rat Pack, General Adnan, Bob Orton Jr., Mr. Hughes, Hercules, and Manny Fernandez. What? The Renegade was Jeff Gate. The Renegades, Jeff Gaylord and the Warlord.
Yeah, they were a tag team.
The Road Warriors, the Samoan SWAT team, the Southern Posse.
Tracy Smothers, is he involved in that?
No, Sonny Trout and Junior Thweet.
Thweet?
Thweet.
Like Dusty Rhodes Thweet?
Thweet.
Thweet. Man, Bret Hart could draw.
Yeah, he could. Super Destroyers, the Texas Hangmen. Oliver Humperdinck was there as a manager. Frankie the Bird was a manager. Nice. Your commentators were Lord Alfred Hayes, Missy Hyatt, Terry Taylor. Wow, Bill Alfonso, Billy Silverman was a referee there.
Telling you, man. Don't sleep on jumping, AWF.
Jumping Jim Brunzell was the commissioner from 95 to 96, right before it closed.
That's right. God.
The AWF. Wow. Look at that. Good pull, Kevin.
I can't believe we've had to have talked about the AWF.
I don't think we have.
We should do a whole show on the AWF.
Well, yeah.
We pretty much did.
I think we just did,
I think we
actually.
Just covered it in a nutshell, really.
Wow.
But that's so right. Anvil was not there, though. Back to the point, I guess, of why talking about it, is that Jimmy Anvil Neidhart was not a member of the AWF.
No, he was not.
But he was featured in that, wasn't he on the Legends of Wrestling? Wasn't it him and Bundy versus Jake and somebody, Jake pulled out the hose?
I think you're right.
Anvil and Bundy against Yoko and Snake? Does that sound right? I get points if I get this right.
Not the video game.
Heroes of Wrestling was called, right?
Yes, there you go. Heroes of Wrestling.
So, I'm pretty sure it was Bundy and Anvil taking on Jake the Snake and Yokozuna. Man, if I get this right.
You are correct.
Yeah!
Jim Neidhart and King Kong Bundy defeated Jake Roberts and Yokozuna.
We've made it official. Kevin knows too much about shitty wrestling.
God.
And I remember Anvil being so pissed off at Jake and just looking at him like, dude, come on. Get your shit together.
Holy shit. Wow, what a terrible card.
run down the Heroes of Wrestling card for our. I know we have a lot to talk about.
No, you're
time.
Good. The Samoa SWAT team of Samu and the Samu and Tama,
right?
Known as you would know him as the Tonga Kid, or Fatu. They beat Marty Jannetty and Tama.
Wait, Fatu?
Yeah,
Tama. Tama isn't Fatu.
No, you're right. I'm sorry. Just because his last
name
is
fucking Fatu. Yeah, I know. It's for the moment, so I'm sorry, but you really had to excuse.
No, you're good. He was known as the Tonga Kid, Tama, the Samoan Savage. Him and Samu beat Marty Jannetty and Tommy
Rogers. And
Bobby
Fulton, right?
No, Marty Jannetty and Tommy Rogers.
That's right. Okay. I do remember that.
Greg Valentine defeated George Steele. Too Cold Scorpio defeated Julio Fantastico.
Nice.
The Bushwhackers beat the Iron Sheik and Nikolai Volkoff. Tully Blanchard defeated Stan Lane. Abdul the Butcher beat the One Man Gang. Oh, no, I'm sorry. It ended in a double countout. My apologies.
Yep.
Jimmy Snuka beat Bob Orton Jr. Oh, my God. This is awful. And Neidhart and Bundy beat Jake Roberts and Yokozuna.
Have you ever watched this?
No.
Do yourself a favor. It's got to be in its entirety available somewhere on YouTube.
I'm sure we should. I bet you Tony fucking has it.
I'm telling you, I remember watching this when it happened.
Was it bad? I think this needs to be a Shining Wizards theater.
All right, I'm sure people have talked about it a lot, but I'm telling you right now, watch this show.
Bonus episode, Kevin.
Oh, I'm in. But you know what? You mentioned an interesting guy on that rundown there, and I remember him having such potential, and nothing ever came of it. Is Julio Fantastico?
Oh, Julio was
De Niro.
Julio De Niro, yeah.
He had. I thought he was going to be. I think if I'm not mistaken, he became a tire designer.
Tire?
Like he or gear? Ring gear? I think he's
really?
he made because he was Easy Money, right?
No,
Easy Money's different.
Easy Money's a different.
They
guy.
Were a tag team in ECW though, weren't they? Easy Money and Julio De Niro. Matt, I'm throwing a lot at you. I'm sorry, pal, but that's a rabbit hole.
He was a gigolo. It doesn't say who he tagged with. Hold on. Let's see here. He's won tag team championships in MCW with Jimmy Cicero. He won the Independent Superstars of Pro Wrestling Tag Team Championship with Glenn Osborne. He was the WSU NWS King and Queen of the Ring in 2011 with Mercedes Martinez. He was the NWA CyberSlam Tag Team Champion with CM Punk.
Ooh.
Let's see. He is not Easy Money, though. Easy Money is...
Which one had the... Because one of them did the Zack Ryder tights before Zack Ryder did them with the one leg and then one leg naked. You know what I'm talking about?
That was...
That may have been Easy Money.
Easy Money was... Fuck, no. Because Easy Money went on... Easy Money was Jason Jett.
Yes.
Chris Hamrick didn't do the one leg thing.
No, I'm telling you, it was one of the two. It was Julio De Niro or Jason Jett who did the
thing with the one leg.
The one leg.
We'll have to look up some Julio De Niro matches.
I'm gonna go to the images. Julio De Niro.
Yeah, he got booked. He got booked from that. Heroes of Wrestling pay-per-view into ECW, where he was a tag team with Easy Money known as Hot Commodity.
Yeah, that's what it is.
And he made his ECW pay-per-view debut in November of 2000 at the November to remember.
And he was, I think he was in like Ohio Valley or one of the old developmentals.
Back in the day.
I think. Because he may have got hired with, oh man, I don't know how I remember this. He may have been hired with CM Punk.
Oh, really? What do I got here? 2003, he was in TNA as part of the Gathering, Raven Stable.
And see, oh, maybe that's and CM Punk
with
was
Raven,
CM right?
Punk, Alexis, Larry, and he feuded with Shane Douglas and the Disciples of the New Church.
Oh God,
he was a jobber on SmackDown in 2008, and he lost to Finlay. And him and Dirty Don Montoya won the Body Slam Wrestling Organization Tag Team Turmoil tournament in Elmwood Park, 2010. That's the last you can find of him on Wikipedia. Man, Julio De Niro. I would love to talk to Julio De Niro.
I'd like to talk to... Yeah, me too. Should work on that.
Yeah, man.
Easy Money.
You're still looking for...
I'm trying to find out which one of them did this, the tight gimmick. I think it's Julio De Niro.
Let's see.
But the images, like when I Google images, it's not... That's some way off. That's something that's someone completely different altogether.
Let's see. Easy Money Wrestler ECW.
Well, I wish we
yeah, were... where it's like...
It's like it's, like it's that? One... It's, yeah, that. Yeah,
yeah,
yeah.
It's
yeah,
Easy
yeah.
Money. You're right.
Yeah, all right. There it is.
We figured it out. I would like to talk to Easy Money, too. Those last couple years of ECW, there were a lot of super talented guys. York and Matthews, Easy Money, Chili
yeah.
Willie.
And it's a shame because ECW at that point had lost a lot of its lack, its luster, if you will, I guess. So, like, these guys, while were extremely good, like, no one really cared about. I, at least in my mind, I don't remember, like, God, it was like the era of, like, when, like, your champion was, like, being, like, held by, like, Rhino or, like, who wasn't Raven, who wasn't Shane Douglas, who wasn't right. Tommy Dreamer, who wasn't the Sandman, who wasn't, you know, Sabu or Taz. So, like, it was, like, the new breed of – it was, like, the new blood of ECW. Just Incredible, Jerry Lynn. I mean, Jack Victory was still around, but
– Jack Victory.
Good. Man.
Yeah, the last couple – I mean, November to Remember 2000, if we just go back and look at it. Oh, Johnny Swinger.
Yeah, Johnny Swinger. He was a team with
Simon Diamond.
Oh, God, what a good tag team that was.
This is your November to Remember 2000.
The last pay-per-view?
No, the last pay-per-view was Guilty as Charged 2001, which I was at.
We go to the – do you still have the 2001 on?
Like yeah, I can get the 2000.
Yeah, let's see that roster. I want to see who's on that card.
November to Remember 2000. Your opening match was Simon Diamond and Johnny Swinger against the Bad Street Boys, which was Christian York and Joey Matthews.
Good. That team should have been good too.
Kid Cash and C.W. Anderson was your next match.
All right.
Spike Dudley, Danny Doring, and Roadkill defeated Hot Commodity, which consisted of Chris Hamrick, Julio De Niro, and Easy Money.
All right.
Nova beat Chris Chetty.
Yeah, look at all these young guys.
Balls Mahoney and Chili Willie defeated the Baldies of Angel and Tony DeVito. Rhino beat New Jack. It was a ECW World Television title match.
I see, like, other than that match, any of the guys that you had named prior to that, like, when you think ECW, do you think those guys?
I mean, the only ones I would Spike, think of, Cash, Doring and Roadkill.
Doring and Roadkill?
Maybe, and Chetty
yeah,
and Nova.
Yeah, of course.
Doring, Roadkill, Chetty, Nova, and Balls.
But like, yeah, and Balls. Yeah, but like, God, but I keep going.
Tag team match, Guido and Tony Mamaluke against the Unholy Alliance of Mikey Whipwreck and Tajiri.
Solid tag team.
And then Carino won Double Jeopardy when he beat Just Incredible, Sandman, and Jerry Lynn for the championship.
All right, so Sandman was still there. Was back, I guess, after his WCW run went swimmingly well.
Yes.
Fucking hack.
Hack. Then they followed November to Remember with Miracle on 34th Street, which had H.C. Loke.
For Loco?
No. He went on to be a tag champion with Tony DeVito in Ring of Honor as part of the Carnage crew. New Jack beat Angel. HC Loke beat Danny Daniels. I don't even know who Danny Daniels is. The Bad Street Boys beat Simon and Swinger. Easy Money beat Balls Mahoney. Nova beat Julio De Niro. Dorian Roadkill beat the FBI to win the tag titles. CW Anderson beat Tommy Dreamer. Rhino beat Spike Dudley. Tajiri and Mikey Whipwreck defeated Super Crazy and Kid Cash. And Steve Corino retained, defeating Jerry Lynn and Just Incredible in a three-way dance. Man.
It's such a different ECW than what you...
And then Guilty as Charged, Rob Van Dam came back. Sandman won the championship in a tables, ladders, and chairs match. Tables, ladders, chairs, and canes, excuse me. He beat Carino and Just Incredible, and then Rhino came out and gored the Sandman. So Rhino was the last ECW champion. RVD and Jerry Lynn was your main event. Wow.
I got to go back. See, this is what I don't watch enough of on the network.
Right?
Is the ECW
when
stuff.
When ECW went to TNN, I was one of the people that stopped watching it.
Their second episode. Was it their second or first episode?
The first episode was Jerry Lynn and Rob Van Dam. Man. Fuck.
I mean, I watched it because it was wrestling.
Right.
So, like, back when anytime you could find more wrestling, you'd watch it no matter what it was. Henceforth, me knowing everything about the AWF and Heroes of Wrestling. Anytime that there was more wrestling, you watched it.
Yeah, but I was a huge ECW guy, and, like, I sought out ECW and would tape all the episodes that were on at, like, 2 o'clock in the morning on the MSG network. And then once they got on to TNN, it just was just too much overproduced bullshit. Like, and it was on a Friday night.
Yeah.
And I think I taped a bunch of episodes, and I might have gone back and watched them, and I might have not. That was at the part of my life with thanks to Shining Wizards Eddie, where he introduced me to dirt sheets.
Oh, boy.
So I would read a lot of results to a lot of shows, and I wouldn't watch them live because I was more into trying to go out and meet chicks, which I failed miserably at in my youth.
Yeah, I was a loser.
And I, at hindsight, I probably would have just been better off staying home watching wrestling.
That's what I did. My Friday nights was watching wrestling.
Fuck, I wish I had stayed home and done that instead of, man. But whatever, it is what it is. Fuck, Kevin, what a rabbit hole.
It was.
Great rabbit hole.
And and I'm distracted because this is one of my favorite builds to a feud ever. And I forgot that this is how it started. We watched Bret Hart versus Rick Martel. Shawn Michaels comes down and beats up Bret Hart, cost Rick Martel the Intercontinental Championship. And this gets us to the SummerSlam match, I'm guessing, at 92 Wembley Stadium. And this is how it started, basically.
Yes. WWE Network added over 50 hours of Coliseum home videos, which some are really good and some are really, really bad.
I don't watch the ones. Like, I looked at all of them and I just see which ones they added, and mostly just collections. So I don't really care. I'll watch because this is like an event and it has like all different guys, all different matches. Like I watched the one from Royal Albert Hall like at least once a month.
Yeah, you're a big fan of the Rumble.
Big Battle Royal guy.
Yeah, like I watched like UK fan favorites, and then I started watching the Bulldog one. But like the ones that are just like collections, they're only like 50 minutes long.
That's not bad.
No. But it's like how many, you know, the Bulldog Warlord match, which was like a Coliseum home video exclusive, is pretty much like every other Bulldog Warlord match you've ever seen.
Oh, my God. There was a time where they didn't wrestle anybody else but each other. That's what it seemed like. It's like, what did I just watch? I watched, I watched Tuesday in Texas. This Tuesday in Texas I watched again. I watched the same shows over and over again. I really got to start. That's my vow to you, Shining Wizards, Matt. Is I'm going to go and I'm going to binge watch some ECW on the network.
I like it. I like it.
That's what I'm going to have to do. Shout out to Danny Doring, too, who said that he's going to put in a good word to possibly get Tommy Dreamer on the podcast.
I would like that. I would like to talk to Tommy. He's doing a lot of great things.
Still haven't heard from him, though.
Yeah, you know, you maybe have to revisit.
Maybe I do have to revisit.
And I have some ideas before you leave I'd like to talk to you about, too.
All right. But
that's neither here nor there.
Rest in peace, Jenny Evel Neidhart.
Yes, absolutely. Rest in peace. Remember the Anvil. Watch all of his Heart Foundation stuff, the new foundation, AWF, even though he's not in it. whatever you're into, I mean, celebrate him. Remember him. You know, send your thoughts and prayers to Natty and TJ and Davey Boy Smith Jr. And all the family, the Hart family. It seems, again, like every week or two we're talking about somebody we grew up watching, and it just sucks.
I wonder if I still have my Hart Foundation shirt. Not the old school one, but the newer one.
The newer 97? One.
Yeah. I know I cut the sleeves off. I have no idea why. I got arms like fucking noodles.
Why not? Because you were in the Hart Foundation.
That's right.
It's fucking badass.
I was the sixth member. Kevin Hart.
Before there was Kevin Hart.
There was Kevin Hart.
Kevin Hart.
Me.
Kevin Hart Garifo.
Kevin Hart Garifo. That's right.
All terrible news aside, it is an amazing time to be a wrestling fan. And
unbelievable.
If you can't see that, then I think you're doing it wrong.
Yeah, somebody put out this great picture on Instagram that just basically listed all the reasons why wrestling is so good right now.
And if you're not familiar with what we're talking about, the Ring of Honor New Japan Pro Wrestling G1 Supercard event at Madison Square Garden sold out somewhere between 13 and 16 minutes on Friday. And there was a pre-sale on Wednesday, and I can gladly say that I got 6 tickets. So myself, Shining Wizards Kevin, Shining Wizards Tony, and the professor will be in attendance.
Is Tony really going to go?
He said he's in.
Oh, okay.
I mean, it's April. It's April 6th, you know, April 6th. So we'll find out on April 6th. But he said he was going. So that's pretty wild. I mean, MSG sits between 15,000 and 20,000. Depending on the way the stage is set up and everything, but still, it's awesome. And I know the boys over at the Turnbuckle Throwbacks, they got the tickets. I know Mega Power got his tickets. This is huge, man. This is a huge thing for professional wrestling. It definitely helps that it's during WrestleMania weekend. But I mean,
the most impressive thing to me about this, and it's one thing with WrestleMania sells out doing this, but for a company like Ring of Honor to sell out Madison Square Garden without even one match or one promised appearance is fucking unreal.
I'm pretty sure they said Okada was going to be there.
Oh, did they?
Yes.
All right.
But still, I mean,
Here it is. This is the Strong Style brand posted this Twitter post of somebody BCAFC Mark. All right. So, and it's like a checklist. ROH New Japan sells out MSG. Check. NXT continues to produce epic storytelling. Check. SmackDown is moving to a larger network. Check. Impact is good again. Check. Indie wrestling is thriving. Check. And there's live British wrestling on TV again. Check.
Correct! Ding! Oh, man.
But yeah.
Look,
it's all true.
It absolutely is. And if you know, if you're not, like, I haven't been watching the WWE. I know that SummerSlam is this weekend, and I, of course, will watch it because it's SummerSlam. It's one of my favorite events. But, you know, we are recording at 4 o'clock in the afternoon, which means my night is free. I might put Raw on. I might not.
Oh, if hopefully I get Dumbfellows out of the way early because I got to watch. Go home, got to watch.
I don't know. It's just, it's not. It's not on my – I am still more –
Listen, I watched Raw and SmackDown last week. I didn't – I mean, I'll watch – I don't feel like I have to watch it is what I'm saying. But I watched them both. I couldn't tell you a goddamn thing what happened on either one of them.
Well, I know the Miz accepted Daniel Bryan's challenge.
Ooh, yeah. And how that's not your main title match is a fucking sin.
Well, neither of them have a title.
Well, that's the sin.
They don't need a title, though.
One of them needs a title.
Why?
I think Daniel Bryan or Miz. I think Miz deserves a WWE championship.
Yeah, but the title's just a prop. The story is more. The story is all you need. I mean, they've been building this for like 2 years.
Yeah, but have they, though?
Sure.
Because, like, Daniel Bryan, when he came back, was fucking fighting the Bludgeon Brothers with Kane. And who was that, like, before that? It was, I mean, yeah, they've been taking shots at each other, but who was his comeback against?
It was him and Shane against KO and Sami Zayn, and then Shane got hurt. for WrestleMania.
Yeah, all right. But who was it after that? It was someone stupid.
Well, him and Kane were a tag team against the Bludgeon Brothers. Big Cass.
Yeah, it was Cass. That was stupid.
Yeah.
That was dumb and stupid. What the fuck? A lot of good it did.
For who?
For neither. Big Cass is fucking...
Did you want to see Daniel Bryan and The Miz at like Fastlane?
No, I wanted to see it at SummerSlam, but I wanted it to be a much higher... The card of SummerSlam is, there's so many matches, and there's a lot of them that are just like all on the same level, which I guess is good, because there's a lot of marquee matches on the show.
There are seven title matches.
Seven title matches, and again, that's not including like...
There's 12 matches in total.
So that, oh God, that's a lot.
Yes, your pre-show match is Rusev and Lana against Almas and Vega.
Which is fine. I guess if anyone's going to be on the pre... I mean, any match you name, I'm going to say deserves to be on the main show. But, I mean, I guess if you have to put it on the pre-show, that's a good match as any to put on the pre-show.
Do you want me to run down the SummerSlam card?
Do we want to do that now?
We can go... we don't have to make our picks. We can just go through the card.
All right.
Finn Balor, Baron Corbin. Cedric Alexander against Drew Gulak for the Cruiserweight Championship.
Fucking Constable. Fucking Finn Balor.
Drew.
I don't want to glance over that because Drew Gulak is amazing.
Yes, he is. I agree. Braun Strowman and Kevin Owens.
Again.
For the Money in the Bank contract. Daniel Bryan, The Miz. Shinsuke defends his U.S. Championship against Jeff Hardy.
All right.
Carmella against Becky and Charlotte in a three-way dance for the SmackDown Women's Championship.
All right, I'll allow it.
Dolph Ziggler against Seth Rollins for the IC Championship.
That's all right. That's cool.
Bludgeon Brothers against the New Day.
The Major Brothers? Who? The
Bludgeon Brothers. No Major Brothers, buddy.
They said the Major Brothers are coming.
Alexa Bliss against Ronda Rousey.
All right.
AJ Styles against Samoa Joe. There we go.
We're going to get some,
just played some this bittersweet
symphony
by The Verve.
Alexa, off.
Brock Lesnar, Roman Reigns for the Universal Championship. That is your summer. Look, on
it's
paper.
On paper, it's a lot of big time matches.
Sure. SummerSlam is one of the biggest shows of the year. I'm just not a person who thinks it matters on where on the card these matches go. Someone has to curtain jerk. Someone has to be in the middle.
And again, there's no shame. Any match on this show, there's really no shame in being like the first or the second or the pre-show. Because, I mean, there's not one like... I mean, if you want to say just because they don't have their own cable show, like the only two guys that no one's probably going to care about, which is unfortunate, is going to be Drew Gulak and Cedric Alexander. But, like... If the Cruiserweight division was back on one of the shows where it should have always... been on SmackDown, then a lot more people would care. When was the last time you watched 205 Live?
Me? Probably a couple weeks ago.
Yeah, I haven't watched it in a while.
From what I hear, it's doing very well.
Right. And I remember when they first made that change over to Triple H taking over, it did do very well. And they got a lot of guys on there, and they seem to be showcasing people. But again, it just doesn't seem – nothing in wrestling right now, despite how great we just said it is going – in WWE, nothing is like, I must watch this.
That's why I will not go out of my way to watch Raw. You know, what are we going to get tonight? There's going to be some kind of Ronda Rousey, Alexa Bliss showdown. Brock Lesnar might not show up. He might. Paul Heyman might cut a promo. He might. People are going to boo the shit out of Roman Reigns. People just, whatever. I'm not a huge fan of it. So I'm not going to watch it just to shit on it. I might flip the channel back and forth, but I also might do some prep work for my fantasy football drafts coming up.
You're so lucky.
Or do some work on some ideas for the podcast going forward. But I'm not going to shit on it. There's alternatives. I much more enjoy what Impact is doing. I'm much more interested in NXT Brooklyn Takeover 4. You know?
I got to catch up on my NXT before that goes down, too.
You know, New Japan Pro Wrestling. They just finished the G1.
I feel like do they ever not run?
Well, the G1 is like 3 weeks.
Right,
that's the shows.
Yeah. I just feel like they're always doing something.
Yeah, well, I mean, people go. I don't know if you saw any pictures from the G1 final, but place was packed. It was sold out.
I did not.
Tanahashi beat Ibushi to win the G1 Climax. Now Tanahashi, who has now won the G1 Climax three times, gets to face Kenny Omega at Wrestle Kingdom 13.
Which is when?
January 4th, I want to say, is the date, 2019.
All right, so here we go. This is what your Raw preview is.
Oh, and the Revival's taking on the B Team because the B Team is not defending the Raw Tag Team Championships at the pay-per-view.
They're tonight on Raw, it's a triple threat tag match.
Oh.
The B Team versus Hardy and Wyatt versus the Revival.
All right.
So, all right, you got that. Alexa Bliss on the run.
Sorry, I don't know.
Sorry. All right, so you're going to have a Bliss, Ronda, something. Constable Baron Corbin and Finn Balor wrestle in separate singles matches tonight. Contract signing for the Intercontinental Championship tonight, which whatever. Paul Heyman is going to be there to let us know what his situation with Brock Lesnar is. And can Braun Strowman keep his composure? If Braun Strowman loses...
Yeah,
I don't know. So something like that. And then Jinder Mahal will probably be there, and Curt Hawkins will probably lose again.
Hopefully. Curt Hawkins hasn't been on Raw in, like, weeks. He's a big main event guy.
I'm feeling it. Feeling it tonight.
Big main event superstar.
Gotta get your... Every week, I gotta get my Curt Hawkins reference in there. He's on our show every week.
He is on our show every week. That's but right. Like I said, I'm more interested in what's going on in Impact and New Japan Pro Wrestling and even Ring of Honor. Ring of Honor has an England show Sunday
Hello.
Afternoon. Ring of Honor, Honor United. So, I mean, I have the Ring of Honor. I'm an Honor Club member, so I might watch that before I watch
Ooh.
SummerSlam. And I might have to watch NXT TakeOver at some point next week, too.
So much. So much.
There's a lot. And TakeOver is a stacked show, too. Lacey Evans and Nikki Cross.
I haven't watched NXT in like a month.
The Undisputed Era against Mustache Mountain. Adam Cole and Ricochet, Shayna Baszler, Kairi Sane, Tommaso Ciampa, and Johnny Gargano in a last man standing match. Aleister Black will not be a part of that.
That's
because of his injury that he suffered. There's a lot, man.
No, there is. I'm trying to remember when I left off when I last watched NXT.
It's been a while.
EC3's not on the show?
EC3 Velveteen Dream. Excuse me. I'm sorry.
That's right. I think we talked about this last week.
We did talk about the EC3 Velveteen Dream.
Velveteen D-R-E.
So there's that. Have you heard about Randy Orton?
I've heard some things.
You've heard some things?
I heard some things.
He apparently loves introducing himself to new writers with his dick hanging out.
There's something you don't hear a lot of. Probably for good reason.
Well, apparently, whatever it is, it caught the attention of the WWE because they are looking into it now.
It's pretty.
I mean, didn't he shit in Kelly Kelly's bag too, allegedly?
Yeah, but how long ago are we talking here? Are we talking like a young Randy Orton, like from like Evolution days, or are we talking like veteran? I'm a top guy, Randy Orton. Because if it's the former, then it's funny. If it's the latter, it's like, dude, what the fuck are you doing?
Well, it's whenever Court Bauer was working with the WWE.
Is he the one that brought it up? Is he the one that brought
it up? Yeah, apparently a Reddit user revived the story told by Court Bauer during a 2012 edition of the MLW podcast. You do need a subscription to go back and listen to it. And what follows is the transcription from the users. For every new writer that would show up, he came in the room, put his hand down his pants, pull out his dick, touch himself, then say, I'm Randy Orton, shake my hand. Oh, you don't want to shake my hand? You're big-legging me? That's fucked up, man. Should I tell Vince and Stephanie you won't shake Randy Orton's hand?
Now, is he actually referring to his hand, or is he referring to his dick?
He was referring to his hand, which he's touching his dick with in front of you.
So it's like a dick touching by association.
Yes. And then apparently Court was in... He avoided the situation because Stephanie walked in the room.
So Stephanie saw Orton with his hand on his junk?
I cannot confirm or deny that from the reports. And then Court Bauer said the story was true when asked on Twitter. And that he has no qualms with Randy Orton. So, it's just weird.
It's in 2018, you can't really be hearing about that kind of shit.
The wrestling business is weird where this is like a thing that has apparently been going on and that's like... you know, there's a small group of people who were writers that possibly shook Randy Orton's hand after he touched his dick right in their face. Like, that's weird. That's like a weird business.
Oh, wait. So he would touch his dick.
So, Kevin, you walk into my house.
I take out my dick.
Undo my pants. Take out my dick. I hold my dick in my hand right in front of you.
And then you.
And then
you,
I go.
And then you. But then you release the
dick. Hold on my dick.
You and put
I
the dick
go,
back in.
No.
And then,
the dick stays out.
The dick stays out.
Yes.
So the dick stays out, but you're just still extending your hand without the without your dick in it.
Right. And then.
So you're not still holding your dick asking somebody to shake my hand.
No. You have clearly held your dick in front of somebody.
And then went to shake the
and
hand.
And then went.
Ah, that's not as bad as I thought it was. I thought he was asking people to shake his hand while his hand was still on his dick.
Kevin, he's going from his dick in his hand right to shake my hand in
yeah,
front
not
of
as
you.
Bad as, it's not as bad, but it's awful and it's fucking creepy. But it's not as bad as him having the dick in his hand asking you to shake his dick hand. Like, you know?
I think it's fucking disgusting.
It is. Don't get me wrong. It's fucking gross. But I'm in my head, I was picturing something different. Like, I'm picturing that he still has his dick in his hand when he's saying, shake my hand. Like, touch my hand and touch my dick at the same time.
None of that.
And actually, even before that, I thought he was referring to his dick as his hand, asking people to just shake his dick.
No.
That's what I had going in my head.
Completely missed it.
All right.
Right over your head.
Right over the old head. All right, but don't shake dick hands.
Don't shake dick. I don't know.
The name of the episode.
Don't shake dick hands? Jesus Christ. That's. It's just fucking weird.
Hey, did you hear? I thought I heard like I saw posts and stuff that Asuka quit. Did you see that at all? Am I making that up?
I have not seen any of that.
I thought that she got like she left either a taping or a show. But
is she hurt?
That could just be no. That, like she like just I again it could have just I don't know the source. It could have just been some troll.
They're saying that. There's absolutely no truth to the rumor that Asuka has walked out and quit WWE.
What is it?
For some reason, a report started making the rounds on social media Saturday morning that Asuka had essentially quit WWE following frustration at this week's SmackDown Live. The story was sourced to Mike Johnson of PW Insider, who never actually reported such a thing.
There you go. That's my
boy. Fake story claimed that Asuka was mad about missing out on a big payday by not being booked in SmackDown Women's Championship match at SummerSlam. It went on to falsely say that she had stopped returning calls from WWE. The rumor started picking up so much traction that Johnson had to comment publicly on his social media page about the incorrect report mistakenly being sourced to him. Mike Johnson on Twitter said, "I have not reported anything about Asuka leaving the WWE, and any website or social media account that claims that I have is lying to you. Stop supporting people that lie to you. Everything that I say and everything that I report is on PWInsider.com.
That's right. I defend him when he's wrong.
It is certainly surprising that Asuka has not been booked in a stronger fashion heading into the second biggest show of the year.
That is, and until I read that, I was like, whoa, that's weird.
So I had not heard about that either, Kevin, but that's a very interesting interesting story there. But yeah, no truth to it. Rumor killed. Next song.
Mike Johnson.
For those interested in New Japan Pro Wrestling, the G1 Climax I didn't mention, Ibushi beat Omega the night before to get to the championship, the final round, which was apparently an amazing match. Worst chokeslam I've ever seen, by the way, by The Undertaker on Yokozuna. Yokozuna didn't even jump. And then Tanahashi defeated Ibushi. Some interesting things happened going forward in New Japan Pro Wrestling. Okada and Gato have broken up. Okada said he wouldn't be relying on his manager going forward despite the breakup. He and Gato shook hands after the announcement. It seems that while Okada isn't leaving Chaos, Gato will no longer accompany him to the ring going forward. Gato had been his manager going back to 2012. So that is very interesting. The next IWGP title defense has also been set as Tomohiro Ishii officially challenged Kenny Omega following a tag team match featuring both of them. Ishii beat Omega during the tournament, cementing his case after the match last night. Omega accepted Ishii's challenge in a backstage interview. Cody Rhodes also made his intentions clear last night as he pinned Juice Robinson square in the middle of the ring during another tag match. After the match was over, Cody made it official that he wanted a shot at the IWGP United States title.
Who has that right now?
Juice Robinson.
That's right.
Zack Sabre also indicated he wanted a title match too, as he submitted Robinson during the G1 tournament.
Who is the IWGP champion? Is
Kenny Omega.
Kenny Omega.
Yes, the IWGP US champion is Juice Robinson.
What are the other belts?
The IWGP tag team champions are the Young Bucks, I want to say.
Yeah, I think they are.
Let me just double check this before I misquoted. It would be misquoted.
Because then they still have those, like, never the open weight champions,
yes,
too, right?
I know the Young Bucks are the current tag team champions. They beat LIJ June 9th.
Yeah, all right.
And then the, let's see, never open weight. Sorry, there we go. The never open weight championship belongs to Goto, Hirooki Goto, who beat him and Michael Elgin. They traded the title.
All right.
And then your, I think the Bucks and Adam Page, they lost them the other night. Was it Page? Let me see. Scroll and the Young Bucks lost them to the Bullet Club OG of Tommy Tonga, Tonga Leo, and Bone Soldier.
Bone Soldier.
So that happened. And then the Gorillas of Destiny do have a case for the IWGT tag titles, as they defeated the Young Bucks and Marty Scurll to win the Never six-man tag titles. So the Young Bucks mentioned after the show that things with the Bullet Club OG were not done.
Wow.
They're going to take the rest of the month off, New Japan. And in September, Road to Destruction events run from September 7th to 9th, with three Destruction events sent for September 15th, 17th, and 23rd. So there's a lot more New Japan stuff going on. Of course, All In is taking place April 1st. Yes.
No, All In is...
it's April 1st, September 1st, or September 1st. Yeah. Jesus Christ. Sorry, Kev. Good catch. And they announced a pretty big match yesterday as part of Being the Elite. Kenny Omega and Pentagon is going to be your match to essentially round out the all-in card. And I think the most exciting thing about the all-in card is that the NWA World Heavyweight Championship is on the line with Nick Aldis and Cody Rhodes. And I think it's an amazing story. And I think Billy Corgan and company have done a great job building back up the NWA World Heavyweight Championship with their 10 pounds of gold series,
right,
which you can find on YouTube. And I think this is really the first time the NWA World title has been relevant since Shane Douglas threw it down in ECW.
Yeah. I mean, it's hard. You can't argue that it's not better than it was. But, like, at the end of the day, like, I feel like Cody Rhodes, to bring it back, Cody Rhodes has to win it.
Absolutely. And I think he will. And I think the story that will be told once he wins it, his father being a former NWA world champion, I think it'll just skyrocket the NWA championship back to. I don't think it'll ever be.
It'll never be what it was.
But I think it'll be more relevant than it has been in the last 25 years.
It's the same belt, right?
Yes.
I hate that belt.
Sorry, I have like agita.
No, that's fine. I think I mentioned this when they first announced Cody Nick Aldis. I was like, wow. I did not see this as the direction they were going to go with this show and the match. Do you have the full card there?
Yes, I do.
Run down the card for me, because I'll be like,
Aldis and Cody, right. Omega Pentagon Jr., Okada, Marty Scurll, the Young Bucks and Ibushi against Rey Mysterio, Phoenix, and Bandido. Ring of Honor World Champion Jay Lethal will defend his title against the winner of the Over the Budget Battle Royal.
The Over the Budget Battle Royal?
Yes, that's part of the pre-show.
Does that have... And that's the one that's on for free on WGN, right?
Yes, All In 0 Hour, which also will feature the Briscoes against Kazarian and Scorpio Sky. Madison Rayne against Tessa Blanchard, against Britt Baker, against Chelsea Green. Hangman Page against Joey Janela. And Arrow star Stephen Amell against Christopher Daniels.
I thought MJF was on this show.
I know he's hurt.
Oh, that's right. He did get hurt. Fuck.
He might be in the Battle Royal, though. I don't know.
Yeah, he did get hurt.
He was announced. He did win
that match. That sucks. I feel bad for MJF if that's why he's not no longer listed. Good dude.
So it's will be available on Fight TV for $39.95. And if you are a Ring of Honor Honor Club member, it is included with your VIP all-in nice. Gimmick.
Of which I am neither.
All right. Well, that's a shame on you, I guess. I don't know.
Yeah.
So that's coming up.
I don't know if like I'm in my own boat here, but like I'm like Kenny Omega versus Penta. I'm like I get it. Kenny Omega's one of the biggest stars in the world, if not the biggest star in the world. But I'm like I feel like I see Penta all over the place.
Yeah, but you don't see Penta Kenny Omega.
No, I know, but like, and I'm a big Penta guy, big Penta fan. Thought that him winning the Impact title was awesome. But I'm just like thinking to myself, I'm like, I really thought that these matches were going to be higher profile than they are. Maybe I'm just so out of the loop that they really are, and I just don't see it, which is entirely possible because I'm not as dedicated as most fans are to some of these guys. I mean, the thing I'm looking forward to the most on this show, believe it or not, is Janella Paige.
Look, in a world, and we've had this conversation, so I'm a little surprised for you to say that you don't think they're. In a world where we've seen so many of these so-called dream matches,
right.
We talked about it last week and the week before with Brandon Kirk, Casey Catal, JT Dunn. These are matches that, you know, Aldis Cody Rhodes is a big deal. You know, it hasn't happened.
I guess I just
Omega
don't see
Pentagon Aldis. Is not something you're going to see. You're not going to see this at PWG because Kenny doesn't work
right.
The States.
That's why I guess that's probably the one thing I'm missing and I'm probably dead wrong about is that match.
You know, I can't say I don't want to misspeak. I don't know if Okada and Scroll have had a one-on-one match. I'm sure they may have in maybe a G1 tournament, but I could be 100% wrong. The Bucks, Kota Ibushi against Mysterio, Phoenix, and Bandido.
To me, that's the marquee match.
That's like huge.
And I guess it's part of me just being a mainstream, more of a mainstream guy. And I think Rey Mysterio makes that match a must-see event because it's Rey Mysterio. And but like again, Aldis and Cody, I mean, I don't see Aldis in that light. Like, well, I was really shocked when that was the main event, when they announced it. I was really shocked.
I don't know if it's, I mean, I haven't really looked to see what the main event is.
Well, you know what I mean. It's a title match, so I always assume, in my head, if it's the world title match, I always assume it's the main event. So I was really shocked when they went that way. So, and I still don't see it as a super, super marquee match, and I thought they were going to go in a different direction. But, listen, that could just be me being not as dialed in as everyone else, because no one else, as far as I know, I'm the only one that's complaining about it.
Fair enough.
So,
see, you see Nick Aldis the way I see Dalton Castle.
Okay,
is that? I think that's a fair comparison.
I think Dalton is a major star.
Yeah, I don't get the Dalton Castle thing.
Okay, so that, yeah, that's a very
when
fair
we
comparison.
Were when he won the title at Ring of Honor when we were there in December. I just was.
You were like, eh.
I was like, okay. It wasn't like when Kyle O'Reilly beat Adam Cole
right.
when we were there. Like that was pretty cool. But yeah, no, I get it. I understand.
Yeah, but again, I'm probably in the very, very little minority on that. Tweet at me. Let me know at Kevin Garifo on Twitter.
You see, Colt Cabana suing CM Punk.
Oh man, wrestling be crazy.
It never ends, huh?
Never fucking ends.
It's pretty wild. And apparently it all stemmed from, CM Punk texting, Colt Cabana telling him that he would
cover his
suit, and then apparently he went back on it and told him that Punk now owes him half.
Right. Well, because I think they had initially started out with the same lawyer, and then Colt went and got separate representation. I could be messing this up a little bit. So then he went once he got his other lawyer. That's when Punk was like, well, I mean, you got that. Well, we had this guy. Now you got that guy? I'm not paying for that guy.
This is an email sent from CM Punk to Colt Cabana in April of 2016. To date, I've spent $513,736 on this Ammon lawsuit. My outstanding current bill is at least $300K. Half of all this is yours. Divide the $513,736 by two, and that is what you owe me and what I expect you to pay me. Starting now, I will no longer be paying your bills. You are on your own. Whatever my bill is currently will be cut in half, and half will be yours. If you choose to make this all ugly, that's fine too. I hope you won't, but I gave up on you doing what is right a long time ago. Cabana notified Loeb and Loeb that he was prepared to retain separate counsel.
Oh, maybe that's what it
is. But he says they came to an agreement for them to continue representing both Punk and Cabana, with Punk covering the fees going forward. Loeb and Loeb then withdrew as Cabana's counsel in March of 2017, with Cabana believing that Punk caused them to do so. The jury ruled in favor of Punk and Cabana in the Ammon trial this June. Cabana hired Carrie Stein of Ashman and Stein after Loeb and Loeb withdrew from representing him. Following the trial, Cabana's counsel notified Punk of Cabana's demand for reimbursement of approximately $200,000 in fees and net cost. Loeb and Loeb informed them that Punk refused to do so. Ugliness. Yeah. Ugliness all over the place. But
yeah, that's weird.
I don't know. It's
nobody stays friends forever in wrestling.
It's pretty crazy, right?
Yeah.
Money is a motherfucker.
It really is.
The root of all evil.
Agreed.
So big weekend in pro wrestling. If you're in the New York, New Jersey area, SummerSlam's hitting the Barclays Center. NXT will be there Saturday night. Joey Janela's Lost in New York is Friday night. Joey Janela Hakushi is the marquee match.
Yeah, baby.
So lots of good things going on. I did not read any spoilers for the Mae Young Classic.
Neither did I.
I do know that Mia Yim had a very strong showing where apparently the crowd was chanting, "Sign Mia Yim."
Did Triple H come out?
Yeah, I think so.
Oh, really? And so then Cedric and Jace?
And then the
Peter
crowd
Rosenberg's words?
Continued to chant, "Sign Mia Yim." And I know one of the women got hurt pretty bad.
Yeah, I saw
when
that.
I had to throw the X up. But
break it down.
That's the extent of what I've heard of the Mae Young Classic, and I'll watch it when it airs. Try and avoid the spoilers. I did finally get caught up on Impact Wrestling.
Remind me that I want to bring something up, unless you already have it.
All right, go.
Renee Young calling Raw tonight.
Oh yeah, that's a pretty big deal, right?
Yeah,
that's a pretty big deal. I know Tony and Baza talked about it on the Tony Baza episode.
Did you listen to it?
I was actually up very early Sunday, yesterday morning, so I listened to it for about a half an hour on my ride to work.
How long was it?
I think it was like an hour and 40 minutes, maybe 2 hours. I caught the back. They started at 6 a.m. our time, so when I got in the car, it was like 7 because I was dragging fucking hardcore ass. And, you know, it's a good listen. It sounded like they had a good time. I texted Tony from his weird Spain number and told him that I was listening. And then Baza kind of pulled back the curtain to expose me for a nice person.
Oh, and yeah, well, we got to break down the fourth wall, I guess. That liner, the opener that you heard at the beginning of the show.
The liner, Baza's wife's son got it for us. His name is...
David Starr.
No.
Oh.
His name is Yuan.
Gotcha.
It's his stepson. So his stepson loves wrestling. He eats, he sleeps, he breathes wrestling. And he was kind enough to ask David Starr for a liner.
Does he know that we know David Starr?
Yeah.
Okay.
I'm assuming so.
Yeah. I know Baza does. That's still pretty cool.
So that was
very
cool.
Actually. Very. Thank you.
And if you don't know the backstory, you haven't listened, I had purchased tickets, as I said, to Ring of Honor, New Japan Pro Wrestling, and I'd seen everybody commenting on it, and I know Baza was weighing the options of coming out for WrestleMania, so I reached out to him and asked him if him and the missus were coming out for WrestleMania, and he said they weren't because of finances, this, that, the other thing.
It ain't cheap.
And I said, well, I don't want to make you, you know, feel bad about it, but I was going to gift you and the wife the other two tickets to the Ring of Honor New Japan show, because Baza has been a supporter for 5+ years.
Goddamn right.
And he thought that was a very nice thing, and he was very taken aback by it, almost like with a tear in his eye, Ric Flair style.
Ah, that promo.
So he was very, you know, as much as he likes to make fun of me, which I appreciate, but then he went and he told the story on his podcast with Tony, so I figured I'd break down the fifth wall and just him and Tony both put me over as a fucking nice person, so.
Ah, look at these guys. What are they after?
I don't know, but
they want some dick hand.
Now I got that going for me. Yeah, maybe dick hand is what we need to do.
Maybe they want your dick hand.
Let's do it. Let's dick hand it up.
Dick hand it up.
So yeah, Brene Young, she's going to be the first female to call Monday Night Raw.
It's pretty wild.
Yeah, I guess so. I did not watch her.
On NXT?
No, but I've
thought
heard,
she was good.
Really? I've heard Tony hates her.
Well, Tony is a misogynist.
I don't think it had anything to do with that. I think it has to do with Tony being an old school Gorilla Monsoon head.
Listen, let's go through like the cavalcade of commentators that they've had, like, and not the play by play guys, so to speak, but the analyst guys. Booker T, fucking awful. JBL, fucking awful.
Correct. Ding.
To me. Corey Graves, fucking awful.
Boo!
Percy Watson, not good. Nigel McGuinness, outstanding.
Woo!
Mauro Ranallo, fantastic. Michael Cole, great.
Stop it.
Vic Joseph, solid.
Dummy, yeah.
Tom Phillips, very good.
No, what?
And I think, who are the other ones? Did I get them all? But, I mean, Renee's, Coachman, fucking brutal.
Biggity bam.
That's right.
So you're saying it can't get much worse.
I'm saying it's not going to be worse.
If it's going to go anywhere, it's going to go up.
I agree, yes.
Fair enough. Yeah, it'll be cool. It'll be cool. I could care a lot, you know.
No, I mean, it's just something that I wanted to bring up. You don't have to do a whole dissertation on it. It was just,
Here's the thing, right? Here's my take on the whole thing. Because maybe it's because we're more into the behind-the-scenes stuff of wrestling now.
Right.
What she says tonight, my question is how much of it is her? And how much is being fed to her?
Oh yeah, well that's going to be,
you know, and I think that needs to be taken into account for a lot of these guys. You know, back in the day.
Oh, I do.
Back in the day, I don't think, you know, your Gorilla Monsoons and your Bobby Heenans and your Jesse Venturas. I don't think they were getting fed everything they were saying.
McMahon was out there with them most
right.
of the time,
so I don't think they were getting that as much as they get now. You know, and you've seen the Mick Foley's write about it, and
yeah, and when I see the when I rattle off those names and how much I disliked their performance, I take that all into an account. And I know that if they had their way, they'd probably be better without it, without the headset.
Right.
People talking to them. So, and it's nothing personal against any of them. Booker T is one of my favorite wrestlers of all time. So it's, and JBL is one of my, I loved that JBL character when it came in. So it's not like I dislike them as personalities. I just think that they're not good on commentary. And again, it's probably one of those things where I'm in the minority and people probably like that Coachman's back gives it some authenticity as being a sports guy, even though when he was on ESPN radio covering for certain shows that I would watch, you know, when he had to give his opinion and his critique of sports and sporting events, I didn't think he was very good either. He stated the obvious. And that was it. And it, not backbone, but like no real depth to his analysis. No real, you know, this is what I think, and this is why, and what stuff. Not saying that he was the worst in the world. He wasn't. I've heard a million times worse on sports talk radio. And everyone who knows me knows that I'm a nut when it comes to sports talk radio. I listen to it all day. All day at work in the New York area. New York is pretty lucky because we have good sports talk radio. Mike Francesa, whatever you want to say about him, but there's a reason why he's back. There's a reason why he's been on for 100 years. I think Michael Kay, Don LaGreca, and Peter Rosenberg are fantastic. Give Peter Rosenberg a shot on commentary. That's what you got to do. I think Peter Rosenberg would be fantastic on commentary because he's like, I feel like he's a little more shooty, which is weird because he's not really. I mean, I guess he has a WWE contract, but he's not, you know, super. Not like a JBL or a Booker T or a Corey Graves, but I would love to see that. But so I like Renee Young on NXT. I'm excited. I think it's good for her that she's going to get this opportunity. Hopefully she could parlay it into something else. Because I've always said this about Renee Young. She comes across as super smart on TV, and that's fucking hot. A girl that knows that she's smarter than you and doesn't care about it, that's hot. She's a hot little number. Follow her on the old Instagram, Renee Young. But anyway, I think that it'll be fantastic. And I went on a pretty serviceable rant there, Matt.
Yeah,
Not a rant, but a filibuster.
I heard the rant.
Filibuster.
That's Dean Ambrose.
Are we going to be on the rant, by the way?
I did not put this up live, so.
No, I mean like when in our normal time.
I don't know. Maybe. Right. Yeah, the show will be short enough so we could figure that out.
Anyway.
At a later date and time.
So, yeah. Following her young, she's hot.
Yeah, don't mess with Dean Ambrose's lady. Do you think we see a Dean Ambrose return at the SummerSlam?
Ooh, that's a good question. Maybe an appearance.
What?
Maybe at NXT in the crowd.
Oh, yeah? Like Matt Riddle?
Dealers, yeah. Yeah, Matt Riddle.
Matty Riddle. So I just want to talk about Impact really fast, and then we're going to wrap this up. Impact clearly still my favorite favorite show on TV right now. This is what I'm watching. I'm enjoying it thoroughly. The stuff that they're doing with Sue Young and Allie and look at that. He took it down. Nope, he didn't. Okay. The stuff he's doing with Sue Young, Allie, Tessa Blanchard is amazing. They're definitely setting up. Tessa Blanchard's character is awesome.
Yeah. She looks like a star.
Yeah, and I think she's going to be a huge star in TNA or Impact, whatever they're calling it now. The stuff with the Desi Hit Squad, KM and Fala is hysterical.
Did you see the picture that KM posted today?
Yes, from the tapings. The Trevor Lee, Caleb Conley, Eli Drake stuff is good. Really behind the Grado, Joe Hendry stuff. That's enjoyable. Austin Aries and Eddie Edwards has a great match with Killer Cross coming out and helping Austin Aries. So that's very interesting to see where that's going. I love the Killer Cross character.
Oh, I think I did watch. Did I watch Impact? I think I did watch Impact. I remember, didn't he just lay out a bunch of people? Killer Cross?
Oh, well, he helped. Aries was facing Eddie Edwards for the championship.
Yes, that's what it was. Yeah, I did.
And
see that.
The referee got knocked out, and Killer Cross helped.
But this is something that we've always talked about, and I guess this is me just being negative, maybe for the sake of being negative, because you watch it way more religiously than I do. But the crowd, man, their non-reaction is, like, such a bummer.
Oh, really? See, I don't really pay attention to the crowd when I'm watching
wrestling.
Okay,
that's fair. That's probably how I should do it.
But I can see how that would bother people when they watch wrestling if you're not getting a response from the crowd. But I just really don't really pay mind to them. And the stuff with OVE and Pentagon is awesome. Pentagon beat Matt Sydal in a great match. And then Sammy is up on the board, and he is telling people that that OVE is a family, and he wants one of the Chris brothers to shave their head. And after a little back and forth argument, he finally gets one of them to sit down and shave their head. So there's a
which one?
Dave, I think.
All right, that works for me.
That's Impact in a nutshell. A lot of good going on there with Impact. I'm very excited for what they're doing, and I know they started taping again. I love the new venue they're at. I'm excited for the Bound for Glory in the City, so I'll be making sure to buy some tickets for that, too. I definitely want to go to Bound for Glory.
Oh, I forgot about that. That's October, right?
October 14th.
All right.
So I think that's it, Kev. I think... Dude, I don't really have anything else to cover, to be perfectly honest with you.
Want
to
bang out some SummerSlam predictions?
Oh, yeah. You want to blow through SummerSlam predictions really fast?
Sure,
we can do that. Rusev Lana against Almas and Vega.
Almas and Vega.
I'm with you on that one. Finn and Baron Corbin?
Finn.
I like Finn as well. Cedric Alexander, Drew Gulak.
God, I hope it's Drew Gulak. I'm going Gulak.
As much as I like Drew, I think Cedric retains.
All right.
Braun Strowman against Kevin Owens, Money in the Bank, contract match?
Braun.
You're going Braun? I think Braun, too. Daniel Bryan, Miz?
Daniel Bryan's got to get his heat back, but if they prolong it, Miz and Mrs. Miz.
You're going Miz? I'll go Daniel Bryan.
I'm going Miz.
Nakamura, Jeff Hardy?
Nakamura.
Yeah, I think Nakamura too. Carmella, Becky, Charlotte?
Carmella's got to look strong with the win.
Really? I'm going Charlotte, and I think that sets up a Charlotte-Becky feud because Charlotte steals it from Becky.
All right, I can see that.
Bludgeon Brothers, New Day.
Wow, who the fuck cares? Bludgeon Brothers.
Yeah, I'm with you on that. Dolph and Seth.
Seth.
You think Seth? I'll go with Seth. Okay, I like that. Seth's pretty hot. not in that. Okay.
Is he dickhand hot?
Dick, very dickhand hot. Alexa Ronda.
That's basically what I'm thinking. I'm not sure.
I think they're going to strap the fucking rocket to Ronda, and I hate that, but that's what I'm going with.
All right. I just licked the microphone. I'll play devil's advocate and go Alexa.
All right, fair enough. AJ Styles, Samoa Joe for the WWE
Wow, Universal as much as I would love to see a change here. I really hope they make a change, and that's and I love AJ Styles as champion. I really hope they make a change, but I'm gonna go AJ.
All right,
what do you like? I see them doing it.
I think AJ stays the champion as well,
but I can really see them putting it on Joe,
and then Brock Roman for the Universal Championship.
Roman,
you think Roman's walking out of there?
I feel like the last time we assumed it was a lock, they didn't give it to us. So this time, I think they give it to us.
All right, fair enough. I think it's that time too. For us to move on from the Brock Lesnar.
Yeah,
but we'll find out Sunday. That's at right. SummerSlam. We will be back in Studio A next Tuesday night. I think that's the plan. Tony will be back from Spain. Safe travels to him. And
yes.
And we thank you for listening. Don't forget to follow us on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, at Wizards Podcast, ProWrestlingTees.com/ShiningWizards. Kevin, you got any comedy plugs you want to hit us with?
Yeah, a big one. August 29th, it's the show that myself and my Dumbfellas podcast mate and co-producer Rich McDonald put together in West Orange, New Jersey. It's 104 Harrison Avenue, the Brown Bear Pub. It's an outdoor venue. It's comedy under the stars. It's fucking gorgeous. It's beautiful. And we have, fresh off his appearance on The Tonight Show with Jimmy Fallon, Mark Normand, former guest of the podcast, will be headlining the show. Guys, if you haven't seen him, Google him, YouTube him. Mark Normand, just on The Tonight Show. He will be on the show, closing it out for your boy. And I think I have other dates, but I can plug them later.
All right.
Thank you. At Kevin Garifo on Twitter, at Shining Wizards Kevin on Instagram. Follow. Be my friend.
Rest in peace, Anvil. We will see you guys next week. Thank you for listening.
Yeah, baby.
See you next week.